ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः सन्न्यासयोगो नाम पञ्चमोऽध्यायः सो वी हव् स्टार्टेड् विद् अर्जुनविषादयोगः द फस्ट् चाप्टर् वेर् वी अण्डर्स्टाण्ड् दि काण्टेक्स्ट् इन् विच् अर्जुन बिकेम् सारुफुल् देन् द सेकेण्ड् चाप्टर् विद् द टैटल् Sankhya Yoga, and I explained to you many times, the word Sankhyam means knowledge. So in the second chapter, the knowledge of the teaching of the Gita, discussed in the 18 chapters, is given in a nutshell in the second chapter. The nature of the self, then living the way of life called Karma Yoga, then the freedom enjoyed by the wise person. Three important topics are discussed in the second chapter. Then third chapter is a Karma Yoga, where Karma Yoga, the karma, is elaborately discussed. What is karma? What is bondage of karma? What is the cause of karma? What is freedom from karma? What is doership? Etc. All about karma is elaborately discussed in the third chapter. And you have to remember, even though we see as the different topics, in the whole Gita, the two important topics are discussed from different angles. So it becomes clear when you complete the sixth chapter again, I'll make you understand this. Don't worry. And the fourth chapter is actually Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga, where Bhagavan Krishna makes it clear that sanyasa, renunciation, is actually implies knowledge. Because only in knowledge one can free oneself from the wrong notions in terms of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. So unless and until one frees oneself from the wrong notions one has about oneself, one frees oneself from doership and enjoyership, definitely there is no freedom. And mechanically, merely giving up activities does not free one from bondage. There's no real, physically giving up activities is not possible, not practical, is not sannyasaha. In fact, sannyasa is, the actual sannyasa is only freeing oneself from the notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And such, that freedom from the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. is possible only when one discovers one's nature. Being Atma, which is of the nature of actionlessness. The very reality implied with the term Atma. And in the same context, we also understood sannyasaha. There's also a lifestyle called sannyasaha, which is vividisha sannyasaha. A person who is adequately mature, who attains the disposition of the mind, is allowed to take a lifestyle, follow the lifestyle where one can focus on attention totally in Shastram. One can live a life of contemplation. At the same time, one can share the wisdom, because sharing wisdom also is part of his living life of contemplation. And such a lifestyle, Vidisha Sanyasaha, is for the assimilation of the teaching is also for jnana. So Yudhishthira Sannyasi has yet to assimilate the wisdom. Whereas the fourth chapter discusses the Vidvat Sannyasaha, the person who is Sannyasi by his wisdom, knowledge, that he is free from doership and jarship. So we understand the difference between Vidisha Sannyasaha as a lifestyle and a Vidvat Sannyasaha is the Sannyasa one discovers in wisdom, in knowledge. When the person lives a life of Karma Yoga or he follows the lifestyle of a Sannyasi, anyone can become a Jnani. And as a Jnani, whether a person is Sannyasi or not, he is really a Sannyasi. That is made very clear in the fourth chapter. We also understood how to convert the whole life into a life of worship, life of yajna. And understood that different yajnas were discussed in the whole chapter. Actually, it is the most important thing is purushartha nischayaha. Told you, purushartha is the human pursuit, human goal. And all our pursuits, all our accomplishments, all our wishes and desires are categorized into four as artha, kama, dharma, moksha. And very important for us to be 100% clear that all the ends are important, but which is the ultimate end, which are the relative ends, must be very clear. It is the purushartha nischayaha, the definiteness about the ultimate end being moksha. And in order to accomplish that moksha, jnanam being your only means must be very clear, because the whole bondage is caused by ignorance. It is in ignorance, in wrong perception, in erroneous notions, there is bondage. Otherwise, there is no bondage at all. What is actually freedom. Therefore, we need not destroy anything. We not achieve moksha also. In fact, in clarifying our thinking, in changing the perspective, we, without changing anything outside or inside, we can just enjoy the freedom as our own real nature. And for which, one has to be mentally prepared, and the mental preparedness into my relative purity and steadiness is possible. We can have that mental disposition required for understanding the teaching, assimilating the teaching, reflecting upon the teaching, or dwelling upon the teaching is possible only if we are mentally undisturbed and mentally stable. And that such a mental condition is possible only if we consciously live a life of dharma, following this way of life called Karma Yoga. And once if we do anything and everything consciously, knowing the purpose in conformity with dharma, every small thing you do becomes a yajna, worship. That is when we understood even the disciplines followed, every discipline followed with great Shraddha, with the faith for mental preparation, ultimately for Jnanam and Moksha, becomes worship, Ishvara Aradhanam. Why? Because ultimately you do everything for discovering the truth, which is Bhagavan, and it becomes worship. It is also an important thing we understood the fourth chapter. Now we are moving on to the fifth chapter. This is Karma Sannyasa Yogaha, not Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yogaha. It is Karma Sannyasa Yogaha. And here, we have to remember that the main topics discussed until now and the main topics that are going to be discussed until the 18th chapter are two topics only. That is Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha. And understanding these two lives, two, Karma Yogaha and Jnana Yogaha, the two disciplines, we also definitely understand the wise person and his life. These three important things we'll be understanding in the whole Gita. So here also, we will be understanding that definitely everyone choicelessly has to live a life of karma yoga as a means of mental preparation required for jnanam. Thereafter, definitely one has to, or simultaneously, definitely one has to go through a discipline of jnana yoga involving three steps: shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, for the attainment of knowledge, and which itself is freedom. Attainment of knowledge itself is freedom. Therefore, this is the important thing we need to remember. There's no change hereafter, okay? Ultimately, what is sought is moksha. For moksha, knowledge alone is the means. And the knowledge and moksha are identical. And for knowledge, assimilated, ascertained vision, nididhyasanam, contemplation is the only means. And for a person to be contemplative, one must know what is to contemplate on. One must be very clear what is to contemplate on. Therefore, for a clear understanding, one must definitely, mananam is the sadhanam. Repeatedly reflecting upon the teaching is the means. And if a person has to reflect upon the teaching, one must have understood the teaching. For understanding the teaching, shravanam is the means. And if the shravanam, mananam must culminate in nididhyasanam, and if it, on, for which one should have the contemplative disposition of the mind, for which one must have definitely relatively, one must have certain degree of mental purity, mental calmness and steadiness. And such mental calmness, mental purity and steadiness, you know, intellectual sharpness and emotional stability is possible only if we consciously live a life of karma yoga, a dharma governed life. This is the order. This order cannot be changed by any Vedanta teacher anytime, anywhere. This is the order. Any teacher should teach the same thing. The order, this order, there's no change. So between karma yoga and jnana yoga, there's no choice between the two. Both have to be gone through sequentially. For mental preparation, karma yoga, and for jnanam, jnana yoga, for moksha, we need jnanam. So which is the means for which end must be very clear. So karma yoga serves as an indirect means for moksha, jnanam, which itself is freedom. So remembering these facts, let us continue here now. So we understand the connection between everything here. So Bhagavan, let us see with understanding. Let us go to the first verse. Atha panchamodhyayah Arjuna uvacha sanyasam karmanam Krishna punaryogam cha shamsasi sanyasam karmanam Krishna punaryogam cha shamsasi yachreya etayorekam yachreya etayorekam tanme bruhi sunischitam yach Shreya yetayorekam tanme bruhi sunischitam sanyasam karmanam Krishna punaryogam cha shamsasi Now hereafter I want to read all these verses carefully, repeat also. So you learn the verses. As you learn the verse, you also understand the meaning. It will also help you improve your Sanskrit. It also will help you remember the meaning. Okay. Sanyasam karmanam Krishna punaryogancha shamsasi yachreyayetayorekam tanme brohi sunischitam. Sanyasam karmanam Krishna punaryogancha shamsasi yachreyayetayorekam tanme brohi sunischitam. Now, see, fifth verse, fifth chapter begins with Arjuna's question. Like in other chapters, Krishna clarified the doubt Arjuna had in the third chapter. But in third chapter, Krishna really highlighted the Karma Yoga. The fourth chapter, he again said how Jnanam is the exalted. So whenever Krishna praises both, Karma Yoga is important, living a life of Karma Yoga is great. Why? Because in living a life of Karma Yoga, you fill your life with Bhagavan. The Lord fills your life. Lord fills your action. Lord fills your result. Lord fills your mind. Lord fills your attitude. So Lord fills your whole life, whole being with the grace. It is because purely because of your attitude. It is the commitment to Dharma that converts the life into a worship. You don't need to separate. There's no separate worship. Everything is worship. The word is great because everything is done ultimately for Jnanam, which is Bhagavan. Therefore, Karma Yoga is superior. At the same time, Karma Yoga is not enough. Only in Jnanam, Moksha is there. Why? Because whole the bondage, samsaraha, sense of limitations, all limitations, all problems are centered on I purely because of ignorance. Really speaking, there's no problem at all. You know, it is so important for us to discover objectivity. So in order not to internalize situations, not to internalize the problems, and to be objective, thereby to be unafflicted. You know, therefore, Jnanam is so important because whole problem is because of your wrong perception and because of this ignorance of what is real, what is not real. What you are, what this universe is, what this universe is not. This is very important. Therefore, Jnanam is the ultimate solution. This is also discussed. Arjuna still wants confirmation. Arjuna still wants to become much, much clearer. So he asked this question. What's the question? Look at this. Arjuna Urvacha. Remember, it must have been Arjuna Uvacha. And Uvacha is what, you know, Uktavan. Arjuna Uktavan. Arjuna Avadat. Arjuna said. But Arjuna watches a past perfect tense, lit form. Arjuna had asked. But the visarga preceding U gets dropped. Okay. Otherwise, if you break it, it must be Arjunaha uvacha. Okay. Now, what is this Arjuna? Arjuna kim uvacha? Arjuna kim uvacha? Look at this. He says, he is addressing Krishna. Hey Krishna, Tvam Shamsasi. Krishna, Tvam Shamsasi. Shamsasi, simple present tense verb, you praise. Shamsasi, you praise. No, actually Shamsa, in the context I told you, may you say. In Ramayanam, I told the meaning Shamsasi, simply you say. But here you praise. Shamsasi, you talk very highly of. You praise, you glorify. Shamsasi, Krishna, Tvam is understood, Shamsasi. What do you praise? You know, Karmanam Sanyasam Shamsasi. Sanyasam Shamsasi. Krishna Sanyasam Shamsasi. Shamshati. Arjuna tells, hey Krishna, Tvam Sanyasam Shamsasi. You praise renunciation. You praise renunciation. Renunciation of what? Karmanam Sanyasam Shamsasi. Hey Krishna, Tvam Karmanam Sanyasam Shamsasi, you praise renunciation of actions. So renunciation of actions means what? Remember, renunciation of actions does not mean physically giving up activities. It implies knowledge. Renunciation of actions implies knowledge. Why? Renunciation of actions is only through knowledge. Again, it is not physically giving up activities. Renunciation of actions means freeing oneself from the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Freeing oneself from doership and enjoyership is renunciation. True knowledge of one's own self being the all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma, which is actually of the nature of actionlessness. Is it clear? Therefore, discovering the nature of the self being actionlessness. How? By discovering one's own self being Atma. Thereby discovering the nature of one's own self being actionlessness, thereby seeing the fact of oneself being free from doership and enjoyership is knowledge, which is sannyasaha, karma sannyasaha, through knowledge. Is it clear? Get the order? Therefore, karma nam sannyasam Shamsasi means, hey Krishna, you highly praise and glorify Jnanam. You praise Jnanam, knowledge of the truth. You praise, you glorify, there's nothing in attainment of the knowledge of the self, because it is in attainment of knowledge of the self, all your problems will resolve for good. In fact, in Jnanam, you have to search for the problem. The problems will resolve. Then there's no need for you to solve the problem. In ignorance, you have no solution for the problem. In knowledge, you cannot find the problem. Why? In knowledge, in perspective change, the problems would have resolved. Therefore, knowledge is nothing like jnanam. Knowledge is the most exalted. Knowledge is freedom. And because after attaining knowledge, what else do you need to attain? After attaining the knowledge of the truth, when you discover freedom, you as your own real nature, you claim freedom as yourself, you claim truth as yourself, you claim Ishvara as your Swarupam, you claim fullness as your Swarupam. Therefore, after attaining that, there's nothing else needs to be accomplished, nothing else needs to be known. So accomplishment of knowledge is as good as accomplishing everything else. Attainment of knowledge is as good as attainment of everything as it were. Therefore, by knowing the truth, everything else is known as it were. That means nothing else needs to be accomplished afterwards. That is the absolute end. This is how knowledge is praised. Arjuna says, Karmanam sanyasam shamsasi means Krishna, tvam atmajnanam shamsasi. You praise self-knowledge. Knowledge of the reality obtaining as the self, you praise. Okay, then you don't stop there. What do? You also praise punaha again. Yogam cha shamsasi. The word yogam stands for karma yoga. Punaha again. Yogam cha shamsasi. You also praise yogaha means karma yogaha. The word yogaha stands for karma yogaha, the way of life. And the word karmanam sannyasaha means jnanam, knowledge, self-knowledge. You praise the attainment of knowledge as the exalted end. And you also praise karma yogaha, the way of life. Yogam cha shamsasi. Yeah, Krishna will say, suppose Arjuna asks, what will say Krishna? Yeah. I praised knowledge. Yeah. I praised karma yoga. So what? So what you say, but I have a doubt, Krishna. What's the doubt? Look at this. Yat shreyaha yetayoho. Yat shreyaha yetayoho. It means yetayoho kim shreyaha. That is the question. If we break it, make it a two sentences. Yetayoho kim shreyaha yetayoho etasya yetayoho yetesham. You learnt it in Sanskrit class. Yetayoho, of these two, the knowledge and karma yoga, jnanam tatha yogaha. Between these two, yetayoho, of these two, between these two, kim shreyaha. Yat shreyaha means kim shreyaha. What is better? What is the best? What is good? What is superior? Kim shreyaha. The word shreyaha, please understand, shreyas. Sakarant napumsakalinga shabdaha. Neuter gender word, shreyas. And the sakara becomes visarga. Therefore, shreyaha. Actual base word is shreyas. But here, shreyaha. Good. It means, literally it means good. So, what is good? Of these two, what is good? Yat shreyaha. Yetayoho. Yat shreyaha. Yekam. Yetayoho yekam. Yat shreyaha. Tat me bruhi sunischitam. So, tat me bruhi. See, bruhi means may you tell. Vada. Bruhi is equal to vada. Two different roots, different rooms, but meaning is the same. Bruhi vada. Shamsa. Okay. May you tell. Kim vada. Nischitam vada. Nischitam vada. Nischit. Sunischitam. Sunischitam. Nischitam means, here's the adverb here. Definitely. Definitely. Tell me what tad ekam. Please tell me that one. Tad ekam. Tell me that one of these two. Among these two, between the two, of these two, tad ek, that one. Tell me that one which is good. Yat shreyaha. Between the two, of these two, tell me that one which is good. Tell me that one which is good. Yat shreyaha tad ekam me sunischitam bruhi. Definitely tell me that one which of the two is good. Jnanam ar yogaha. Now the very question makes it very, what now? Arjuna hasn't yet understood the teaching very clearly. Arjuna has a doubt. Is it clear now? How would the prose order now? Hey Krishna, karmanam sanyasam cha punaha yogam shamsasi. Yetayoho yat shreyaha tad ekam me sunischitam bruhi. Is a little question. So Arjuna still has a doubt. Same question, same doubt. Now you all can understand. Is it possible? Is there any choice between the two? You can live a life of karma yoga or you work for the attainment of knowledge. You don't need to do both. Can Krishna tell that? Therefore, we should understand between the two, there is no choice. Karma yoga and living a life of karma yoga and attainment of knowledge through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Between these two, there's no choice. There's no choice. Why? Because the ultimate goal, accomplishing which is a search on the part of the human mind, comes to an end. At the absolute end, accomplishing which everything else becomes accomplished, the human life becomes complete, successful, absolutely meaningful. That end is the attainment of knowledge of the reality as one's own self. For which, definitely, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam are the steps which constitute the way of a discipline called jnana yogaha. One has to go through jnana yoga. One has to study the shastram, listen to the unfoldment of the teaching. One has to gradually, repeatedly listen to the same teaching. Okay? And one has to see clearly the fact of the self being free from bondage. One has to understand the whole life. What is birth? What is death? What is karma? What is this life all about? What is samsara? You know, what is relationship? What is karma? What is result of action? What is experience of pain and pleasure? What are the pairs of opposites? What are the laws? How laws govern and determine the actions and relationship, and how we come together, live together, and you know how the senses, when the interaction of the world definitely results in experience of pairs of opposites. Prarabdha sanchitam agami, how atma is free from all these threefold karma, how in ignorance these karmas are inevitable. Everything, the whole teaching has to become very clear. Therefore, shastra study is important. Not as you like or I like. There's a systematic, regular study of this teach shastram for a length of time with the competent teacher alone is called shravanam. Otherwise, it is not shravanam. If you go online and Google, ask Google Ananda, and you get read anything from anywhere, you can gather a lot of information. That is not said to be shravanam, because a systematic study is important and a repeated study is important. Okay, shravanam. Then even if you understand that shravanam will help you resolve the ignorance, but still it doesn't mean from being ignorant you might have become knowledgeable, but still your doubts may be there. the doubts also have to be resolved. Because why the doubts? The doubts are not your own doubts also. The whole world is around you to create doubts in you. Unless your knowledge is very firm and unshakable, anybody else can come and ask you for doubts and then they can shake your knowledge. Your knowledge has to become unshakable with the different people of different cultures and different background, different belief systems. They all are strongly holding on to their own, you know, the background and things. They're not bad or wrong, because it's difficult for a person to accept something what is being said. They all can come with their own doubts. And whoever comes from whichever part of the world, any cultural background, any thinking, still, you know, not being adamant here, one must be true to one's own understanding. The intellectual honesty must be there. Yes, without contradicting my own reasoning, I do clearly see what is being taught in the Shastram. The Shastra teaching being non-contradictory must be very clear. And my understanding must be very clear. Therefore, repeated listening, reflecting, which is called reflection, and will help me resolve any such doubt, you know, asked by any other person of any other school of thought also. Which means only when the clear understanding, I am convinced of my clarity of vision, is not a simply being adamantly again 100%, okay, clear, then I can repeatedly, I must be able to repeatedly dwell upon the clear fact. I must be able to assimilate it. The assimilation must be such that in spite of seeing everything as it is, I must be able to see through the eye of knowledge how everything is one, absolutely. And that ascertained vision alone is called moksha jnanam, which is really moksha. That vision is moksha. There's ultimate goal. Here there's no choice here. We had to go through these disciplines. But definitely, it is possible. Only assimilation is possible. Only if I have that this my mental disposition, and for which no shortcut method will help me manage my emotions, have that mental, adequate mental purity and steadiness, unless I live a life of dharma consciously with a proper attitude. Which means this is where I really surrender my will to Bhagavan, the form of order. I bring Ishvara into my life. I fill my life with Bhagavan, Ishvara. I'm worshipful. I'm prayerful, because I need tremendous amount of strength to be able to live a life of dharma. It is my prayer, my shraddha, my understanding of prayer being, my understanding of prayer being a will involved auto-suggestion, highly efficacious auto-suggestion. So prayer will be helpful. I'm prayerful, intensely, fervently seeking Bhagavan's grace all the time for me to be able to live a life of dharma. Not only that, I'm worshipful, I'm thankful to Bhagavan, and think of that all the time, enjoying some time, worshipful. And of course, my will is handed to Bhagavan that consciously I do not do anything wrong. My personal likes and dislikes are definitely governed by knowledge of right and wrong, dharma. Therefore, I do everything with proper attitude, that what? I am doing everything and anything ultimately to prepare my mind for jnanam, which is my ultimate goal. It is what makes my life offered to Bhagavan, Ishwarpana Buddhi. And because of this understanding that everything is Bhagavan, permanent sukham is only in moksha, only in jnanam. Only in jnanam permanent sukham moksha is there. Otherwise, if at all I have some pleasures, it's subject to change. Therefore, nothing is permanent here. This understanding will help me look at everything which comes in life, the sameness of mind. Apart from that, I also see that everything is within the realm of order, means there's absolutely perfect order in every, in enjoyment of everything that everyone has in life. But everything is determined by Bhagavan in the form of order, means this understanding also helps me accept everything with sameness of mind as prasada. It is this attitude with which I'm living really helps me manage my emotions, just keep me going in my life with things of getting stagnant my progress. Therefore, living a life karma yoga is very important for preparation. There's no doubt. Without living a life of karma yoga, jnanam will be impossible. But life of living of karma yoga without jnanam will be incomplete. Therefore, between these two, jnanam and yoga, there's no choice. They're sequentially, they are the two disciplines to be followed sequentially by every individual human being who claims himself to be a spiritual person, who lives his life with a clear understanding of the ultimate purpose of life. Every person who claims himself to be a spiritual aspirant must understand this fact and must go through this, both these lifestyles sequentially. This is the fact. But Arjuna is asking, what is that one thing which is good of the two? Please tell me. Now we are going to see the answer. What Bhagavan is going to say. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Nishreyasakaravubhau Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Nishreyasakaravubhau Tayostu Karma Sanyasat Karma Yogo Visishyate Sanyasa Karma Yogascha Nishreyasakaravubhau Tayostu Karma Sanyasat Karma Yogo Visishyate Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri is a ikaranta strilinga shabda. He nominated Shrihi. Shrihi literally has so many meanings. One of the meanings is Shrihi means beauty. Shrihi means wealth. Shrihi means prosperity. That's why the prosperity, wealth in its entirety personified is known as Lakshmi. Lakshmi is implied by the word Shrihi. And in India, when we want to be respectful, everything is divine here to say, we always Shriman means one who has wealth is called Shriman, wealthy, rich in every respect, rich in culture, rich in knowledge, rich in everything. This now we call it Shriman, the person of high, the virtues, Shriman. Rich in every respect. And Srimati, feminine. Sriman, Srimati. And also, a married man is always addressed as Sriman. Sabharatnam. Srimati Radha. Like that. When we say married woman, Srimati, Sriman. Adjectives are given. But generally, to respectfully, we always say respectfully, who is this? Shri Tristan G. Somebody, we add Shri to respect anybody also. When Bhagavan is talking, we won't say simply. So Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. And Bhagavan is what? Takarantaha Pullingaha Bhagavat Shabdaha. Takaranta Shabda. Actually, தக்காராந்தா புல்லிங்கா பகவத் சப்தா. இந்நாமினேட்டிவ் பகவான், பகவான் இஸ் நாமினேட்டிவ் ஃபார்ம். ஆக்சுவலி வாட் இஸ் த பேஸ் வேர்ட்? பகவத். நவ் பகவான் உவாச்ச. சி பிகா யூ லேர்ன் சம்ஸ்கிருதம், ஐ கேன் டெல் யூ ஆல் தீஸ் திங்ஸ், அதர்வைஸ் ஐ ஹேவ் டு டாக் சம்திங் டிஃபரெண்ட்லி. பகவத் பகவான் பகவான் உவாச்ச. பகவான் சேஸ் சந்நியாச கர்மயோக ச. சந்நியாச கர்மயோக ச. சோ ஹியர் பகவான் வாண்ட்ஸ் டு மேக் இட் வெரி கிளியர் த டிஃபரன்ஸ் டு லைஃப் ஸ்டைல்ஸ் ஹியர். சந்நியாச, the living a life of sannyasa implies the pursuit of knowledge, going through the discipline of jnana yoga, going through the discipline of jnana yoga for the attainment of knowledge is implied by the word sannyasa. Then karma yoga is another lifestyle, living a life of karma yoga for mental purity and steadiness required for the attainment of knowledge. Sanyasaha karma yoga cha, two different disciplines, two different means for the two different ends. So karma yoga but ச மீன்ஸ் அண்ட் சந்நியாசக கர்மயோக ச. நவ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் போத் ஆர் மாஸ்கன் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட்ஸ். சந்நியாசக இஸ் அ மாஸ்கன் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட், கர்மயோக இஸ் அ மாஸ்கன் ஜெண்டர் வேர்ட். சந்நியாசக கர்மயோக ச போத் ஆர் நிஸ்ரேயச கராவுபௌ. இஃப் யூ பிரேக் இட், நிஸ்ரேயச கரௌ உபௌ. நிஸ்ரேயச கரௌ உபௌ. So உபௌ is a dual expression which means both. உபௌ, உபௌ means both. And I want to understand here, நிஸ்ரேயஸ். Earlier you learned the word ஸ்ரேயஸ். Here நிஸ்ரேயஸ் சகாராந்த சப்தா. நிஸ்ரேயஸ் இஸ் நாட் மியர் ஸ்ரேயஸ், இட்ஸ் நிஸ்ரேயஸ். நிஸ்ரேயஸ் ஆல்சோ, நிஸ்ரேயஸ் மீன்ஸ் மோக்ஷா, நிஸ்ரேயஸ் மீன்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட் குட், நிஸ்ரேயஸ் மீன்ஸ் குட். இட் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் மோக்ஷா, இட் ஆல்சோ மீன்ஸ் அப்சல்யூட் குட். நிஸ்ரேயச கரஹ, நிஸ்ரேயச கரஹ means that which brings good, that which brings good, that which makes good. Nishreyas kara. Kara means maker, literally means nishreyasa kara, nishreyasa karaha. So nishreyas means, if you take it as moksha, that which paves way for moksha is nishreyasa karaha. So nishreyas means absolute good, which means jnanam mokshaha, mokshaha. The nishreyasa karaha means that which paves way for moksha. Nishreyasa karaha. Now, nishreyasa karaha, nishreyasa karau, nishreyasa karaha. Isn't it? Nishreyasa karau is what? Dual. Nishreyasa karaha, singular. Nishreyasa karau, dual. Now, sanyasaha, that is jnana yogaha, and karma yoga cha ubhau nishreyasa karau. both contribute for the attainment of moksha. Both are conducive for the attainment of moksha. Both together bring good. So nishreyasa karaha means that which makes the attainment of knowledge conducive, possible. Now it is in sanyasaha karma yogaha cha ubhau. Karma yogaha ubhau nishreyasa karau. You have to break it like that. Now, having said that, Arjuna's very question makes Arjuna, Krishna understand it. So what he thought, he wanted Arjuna to live a life of karma yoga. Okay, so he says what? Tayostu, of those two, tayoho, to of them, of those two, between those two, karma yoga and sannyasaha, tayoho, tasya tayoho tesham, remember, tayoho, between those two, among those two, of those two, karma sannyasat, karma yogaha visishyate. Visishyate means, is atmane padam, which means excels. Karma yogaha excels. Which means, he says, karma yogaha is better than karma sannyasat. Karma sannyasaha implies knowledge. Sannyasaha. Karma sannyasat. Karma yogaha visishyate. Does Krishna say, does he mean that you don't need karma sannyasa? No. Before you go there, but what is important? If karma yoga is more important, why? Only then you'll become qualified for going to karma sannyasa. Therefore Krishna says, karma sannyasat. See, whenever you want to compare, you have to use panchami vibhakti. Karma sannyasat, ramat, balakat. Neither karma sannyasat, karma yogaha visishyate. Karma yoga is better than karma sannyasa. Living a life of karma yoga is better than living a life of renunciation. So here Bhagavan wants to say, between the two lifestyles, I talked to you about sannyasa lifestyle. Vividisha sannyasaha, please understand. Vividisha sannyasaha is a lifestyle. And karma yoga is a lifestyle. What is the difference between karma yoga and vividisha sannyasaha? Both are ajnanis. The person who is given to the life of Vividisha Sannyasaha also has yet to assimilate the teaching. And a person who lives the life of Karma Yoga, of course, also is still ignorant. The difference is the Karma Yogi has social obligatory duties. The person who follows this lifestyle called karma sannyasaha is free from social obligatory duties. And I told you, explain the meaning of this word, vividisha sannyasaha. Vividisha is a desiderative word. Vividisha. I had explained a lot. Today let me make it very clear. Vividisha is a desiderative word, which means desire to know. Veti Veti means knows. Gacchati, patati, like veti, knows. Vetum, infinitive, to know. Vetum, to know. Icha, desire. Vetum, icha, vividisha. Vetum, icha, vividisha. Desire to know is vividisha. So the person who totally commits himself to the pursuit of knowledge, there to the exclusion of the other pursuits. Okay, there are people who are adequately mature, thereby who are totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge to the exclusion of other pursuits. And such people, all the time, spend the time in Shastram. Studying, teaching, doing Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, or sharing, like that. And such, for such people, they themselves choose this lifestyle, that then there's no social obligatory duties. They also refrain from enjoyment of certain pleasures. Even though they also need basic requirements, they also have basic needs. And Vedic culture allows such lifestyle, and such people also have dress code, etc. And in India, where the Vedic culture is lived, there is such people, their basic needs, food, shelter and clothing, are taken care of by the society. Basic needs. So they have to live a prayerful, worshipful, clean, sadhu life. That is sannyasa lifestyle. And no sannyasi has a competitor in the world. No, why? As a person who lives a life, who takes to life of sannyasa, a vividisha sannyasi is a non-competitor. And he has no competitor. Neither he is a competitor, nor does he have a competitor in life. You know why? He is not preventing anybody from achieving any ends. So he is not a competitor. And nobody else can prevent a sannyasi from accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. That is moksha. Isn't it? See, if you want, what I want to achieve in my life is moksha and jnanam. And who can prevent me from accomplishing moksha? Nobody in the world can prevent anybody from accomplishing moksha. If I am living, having moksha as my ultimate goal and jnanam as my ultimate goal, oh my God, I want to accomplish this end, other person will stop me from attaining it. No, nobody can prevent you from attaining moksha. Nobody can grab moksha from you. Therefore, you don't have a competitor in your life. As a sannyasi doesn't have a competitor in his life, in his or her life. So nor is a sannyasi a competitor for others. Therefore, non-harmful person. Because that's why the commitment is very clear, pursuit is very clear. Sannyasi can maintain one's mental serenity because of the understanding. It's a vividisha sannyasaha lifestyle. So what sannyasi also must be doing? Shravanam, or mananam, or idhyasanam. Teach must be in this all the time. Or all the time contemplative lifestyle. Now, this sannyasi is called vividisha sannyasaha. Now, Arjuna repeatedly is interested in taking this lifestyle. Know why? one should take the life of sannyasa, wear saffron robes, then no more obligatory duties. I can escape from the battlefield. Arjuna's thinking is what? He expressed Hare Krishna to tell him, okay, you want moksha jnanam, go and take place as sannyasa, go. Then no more duties, no responsibilities, you know. Therefore, and Krishna wants to make it, that is called karma sannyasaha, which is vividisha sannyasaha. Is it clear now? Vividisha sannyasaha. But karma yogaha is living a proper householder's life where one has all responsibilities, duties, more you have, more responsibilities you have, and more one has to earn, one has to look after, one has to do dharma, contribute to the perpetuation of dharma. Then the duties, family duties, varna dharmas, ashrama dharmas, actually purusha dharma, a lot of duties as in keeping the different roles one has to play, the duties are also more. Responsibilities are more. So it involves really challenge is there in life. It's karma yoga. It's a householder's life. But because of the attitude and the understanding of Ishvara, commitment to dharma, that one can be relaxed and in spite of being highly busy, active, all due to responsibility, still one can maintain one's mental calmness because of this. One can be relaxed because of the way of life called karma yoga. So between these two lifestyles, now Arjuna is asking, which is better? Not about jnanam, okay? Between these two lifestyles, which is better? Vidisha sannyasaha lifestyle is better, or karma yoga is better? See, karma yogi and vidisha sannyasi, for both of them, goal is the same. Moksha is the ultimate goal. Jnanam is the ultimate goal. There's no difference in goal. But lifestyles are different. But both of them have to study Shastram. Both of them have to live a life of Dharma. But a certain difference in lifestyle. So Arjuna wants to know, which of these two lifestyles is better? And Krishna, very careful in saying, karma sannyasat karma yogaha visishyate. Living a life of karma yoga as a householder is better than taking to lifestyle of karma vidisha sannyasa. See, Bhagavan has said this. That is why one has to really understand the teaching. See, many people come to Gurukulam. So they used to come and ask Swamiji, Swamiji, I want sannyasa. And Swamiji used to tease. You know, he won't say anything. And he'll politely tell them, you just be here for some time, 6 months or 3 months. Now in the 3 months, when eating the food, they'll get tired. They'll run away. Every day, same old food. No pizzas and no burgers, nothing. Idli, sambar, dosa, radhi, this is same thing, same food. No, the food itself is enough. How mature they are, you don't understand. And you had a simple, small, you know, small rooms and simple accommodation. And then you had study Sanskrit grammar, finished. Sanskrit grammar, then they'll run away. So many things. Sometimes this happens. And sometimes people stay there and then in the beginning they'll be asking. After 6, 7 months, 8 months, then slowly they'll find some friends and they'll change their mind. So sannyasa is not something you can just go and take it. Or there's no giving sannyasa, taking sannyasa. It's expression of one's mental mind, mental condition. But if you see outside the person, anybody, any sannyasi or a kauriya, everybody has to eat, drink, everybody has to go to toilet, the same life, so there's no difference. It's all in the mind. Because it's difficult to understand. So Krishna says, what he says now, karma yoga, karma sannyasat, karma yogaha visishyate. Between these two lifestyles, living a life of karma yoga as a householder is better than living, taking to a life of vivrisha sannyasaha. See, between the two sadhanas, we are very clear. There's no choice between karma yoga lifestyle and jnana yoga. There's no choice. Now he makes it very clear again. Between these two lifestyles also there's no choice. But one must go through karma yoga first. Here you can choose to be sannyasi. You can choose to be karma yogi. But still karma yoga is better. Bhagavan says better. So any of you have any ideas of sannyasa? So Bhagavan has given an answer. Karma yoga is better. Tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo visishyate. If you break it, sannyasaha karma yoga cha ubhau nishreyasa karau. Tayoho tu karma sannyasat karma yoga visishyate. Bhagavan's answer has been given. See, in the first line, be careful. In the first line, Bhagavan mentions carefully that both ashramas, that is, grihastha ashramaha and sannyasa ashramaha, both the ashramas, two stages, okay, both the ashramas are equally good. Ubhau api nishreyasa karau. Both the ashramas are equally conducive for the attainment of moksha. And if you really carefully look into what are the advantages of living a life of karma yoga, grihastha ashrama, or what are disadvantages in being a householder, and what are the advantages of being a sannyasi, and what are the disadvantages of being a sannyasi? If you look into, definitely in both the ashramas there are advantages, in both the ashramas there are disadvantages. Because that is how the world is. Living a life in this world means going through paths of opposites. It's inevitable. Living this life means going through life of paths of opposites. Therefore, as far as moksha is concerned, both the ashramas are equally conducive for the attainment of moksha. See, karma yoga is a sadhana, a means, a discipline. Jnana yoga is a sadhana, a discipline. So, a karma yoga can be actually strictly, effortlessly, intelligently followed as a householder in grihastha ashrama. But there are many obstacles in living a life of jnana yoga. Now why? So to live a life of sannyasi, first of all, life must be a distraction-free life. one may have many duties in Grihastha Ashrama and doing a lot of duties become obstacles sometimes. Even social obligated duties, a lot of distractions. So, in both the lifestyles, there are desirable advantages, undesirable disadvantages. But anyway, both these ashramas definitely help one prepare one's mind, help one attain jnanam and moksha. Therefore, it is impossible, we should not say that one lifestyle is superior, one lifestyle is inferior. Such comparison is not possible. Nothing is inferior, nothing is superior. But still, Krishna says here, karma yoga is better. Living a life of a grihastha, a householder, a karma yoga is better. Why? Because to live a life sannyasa, one needs a mental preparation. That mental preparation and the mental condition that needed for living a life sannyasa is not easy. If a person has the preparedness, then definitely it's nothing like that. It's really it Bhagavan's grace. If a person has such mental condition, mental makeup, to live a life of sannyasa, to be in sannyasa ashrama, it is Bhagavan's grace and blessing, but it is not easy to have it. Suppose without this mental preparedness, if a person takes to life of sannyasa, I tell you, this sannyasa ashramaha will be very frightening, horrible. That's why one must be qualified, prepared to take to life of sannyasa. Therefore, Bhagavan Krishna says, for the most of the people of the society, life of karma yoga as a grihastha, as a householder, is actually more protective and more constructive, more contributive and much safer and appropriate and ideal. So Krishna says, karma sannyasat karma yogaha visishyate. So, householder's life as a karma yoga, karma yogi is superior, better. Why? No, for whom? It is better for whom? Who is the person for whom it is better? He says, most of the people of the society, karma yoga is better. That Veda Shastram itself emphasizes this fact. See, whatever Bhagavan Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, actually what is already emphasized and taught in the Veda Shastram. Because Krishna cannot say something which contradicts the Vedic teaching. So already in Veda Shastram, this is how the teaching is presented. It is said, one should become a householder having gone through the Brahmacharya Ashrama, thereafter having lived a life of a householder, live karma yoga as a householder, then gradually going through the vanaprastha ashrama, finally one must go through sannyasa, which means everyone must go through householder's life as a karma yoga, that Veda Shastram emphasizes. This is the general rule laid for the entire humanity. What is that? One must begin with Brahmacharya Ashrama. So having completed the life, our student's stage, then one must become a householder. Grihi bhavet brahmacharyam samapya. Then grihi bhutva vani bhavet. Now this is a beautiful order. See, I want you to understand this sentence. No? Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada quotes an important line quite often said in the Jabala Upanishad. Jabala Upanishad gives a nice statement. You know what it is? Brahmacharyam samapya. Brahmacharyam samapya. Grihi bhavet. So having completed one's stage, one's life as a Brahma, as a student, living a highly disciplined life, having completed one's first stage as a student, living a highly disciplined life as a celibate, one should enter into, one should become a householder as a married man. Grihi bhavet. Grihi, griham means house. Grihi means householder. Householder means family holder. Then grihi bhutva vani bhavet. So having life, having lived a life of karma yoga as householder, married householder. I have to say all the words carefully nowadays. Vani bhavet. Vanam means forest. Vani means one who lives in the forest. And vani doesn't mean one should go to the forest. Vani means one should go through the next stage of withdrawing oneself from responsibilities. See, one should live a life of karma yoga as a householder. From being a householder, gradually one has to withdraw oneself from gradual responsibilities. That gradually withdrawing oneself from responsibilities and duties, having lived successfully the life of householder, is called next stage of life. Such a person is called Vani, Vanaprastha Ashramaha. So, Grihi Bhutva Vani Bhavet. Having been a householder, may one become Vani. Then, Vani Bhutva, very beautiful sentence, huh? Vani Bhutva Pravrajet, Pravrajet. Vani bhutva pravrajet. Pravrajet. Pravrajati. Pravrajet. Having gone through a life of withdrawal, a vanaprastha ashrama, finally may one renounce. Parivrajet means what? Pravrajet means may one renounce. What does it mean? The order is made very clear. One has to go through 4 different ashramas and the following the ashrama dharma strictly, carefully, understanding the significance is for one's own spiritual well-being and growth. We have this ashram, varna dharmas, no? So, varna dharmas, following the duties, involving oneself in duties based on one's predominance of guna and inclinations, varna dharma. So, varna dharma, one has to follow those duties according to varna for contributing for the well-being of society, social well-being. Ashrama dharma is for individual well-being. See, Veda Shastram has designed the lifestyle for every individual. See, you take care of your own well-being, for which you have to follow, go through varna ashrama dharma. And if you want to contribute for the social well-being, the world's well-being, for which you follow varna dharma. So every individual is ordained to do duties, 2 types of duties, ultimately for one's own well-being as well as for the world's well-being. See, you do not ignore the world being foolishly selfish, nor do you neglect yourself. So self-negligence is also wrong. World negligence is also wrong. So ashrama dharma is for avoiding self-negligence. Varna dharma is for avoiding world negligence. So Shastram tells how you can be happy. You can contribute for world's happiness also. Anyway, I have taken you out of the track. I'll come back and talk to you next class. Okay, today happened the first day of the class. It goes slowly like this. We'll take off fast next class. Okay. Anyway, I remember Krishna has said, Jnana Karma Yoga is better than Vidisha Sanyasaha. Householder's life, Grihastha Ashramaha is better than Sannyasa Ashramaha. That is the teaching, which means why, how, etc. He's going to elaborate the whole teaching. We understand next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.
Amini?
Yeah.
One question. I was reading this Sadhana Panchakam.
And yeah.
The first line, it says, Veda Nityam Adiyatam.
Yeah.
Study Vedas daily.
Yeah.
Does it mean the entire Vedas or does it mean?
No. Actually, Mangama, we have to interpret in contextually. Generally, when addressed, young men are addressed, it is said, for everyone, they have their own branch of Shaka, their own Veda branch, supposed to study. So that we have to understand scriptural study. Vedo Nitya Madhiyatam means, may one understand, may one be given to the study of the scriptural teaching. Okay. Yeah. See, Veda means not all 4 Vedas.
Yes, yes.
Not Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda, Jnana Kanda. Not all Upanishad. Veda, it's a general rule is what? May one follow the Vedic way of life. Okay. And see, even if you don't study Veda, understand the core vision of the Vedic teaching. And live a lifestyle enjoined by the Veda.
Okay.
See, who is a Vaidikaha? We say Vaidikaha, Vaidika means whoever accepts Veda as the Pramanam, as a means of knowledge of living this life, means at the end of this life. Okay? Veda is a means of knowledge. So I accept Veda as a means of, as a guide. I accept the Veda and I follow the lifestyle enjoined by the Veda. I don't need to know every word that is said in the Veda, every word of Veda, who knows? All four Vedas, karma, upasana, no, not like that. Understand the core vision of the Veda Shastram. In fact, by studying Bhagavad Gita, you are understanding the core vision of the Shastram. Core vision of the Shastram, understand. Core teaching. Then live a lifestyle enjoined by the Veda Shastram. I do not change my way of, compromise with my way of life because I strictly follow the Veda. Why? Because I accept Veda. That Veda is my well-wisher. Veda help, whether whatever Veda says I follow, because ultimately for my own jnanam, my own moksha, my own happiness, my own freedom. So Veda is interested in my well-being, therefore I follow Veda. We aren't fools to follow Veda. Why do you follow Veda? Because my well-being is in understanding, living what Veda teaches. Then we follow Veda. And that following that Veda is called what? Next line we will say, Vedo nityam adhiyatam. Then what is said in the Veda, accordingly, lumen life. That is the spirit of the, what is what we understand meaning as the meaning of the sentence.
Thank you.
Doesn't mean simply reading all Vedas. No.
That's right.
Suppose if you're Vaidika, a man who comes in the traditional Vedic family, and at least he is expected to memorize certain portion of Veda and study it so that he memorizes and he can, once you study properly and memorize and you can teach other person, so through that you contribute for a perpetuation of the Vedic teaching. That is the idea.
Okay.
So we have to understand the meaning properly in the context.
Okay, thank you.
For whom? Like this, no? For whom Karma Yoga is better? So for whom, that mean, what is the meaning of that sentence? The meaning of the sentence differs from person to person. We'll see that. Any other question?
No.
Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.